Okay, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 118. This psalm, we looked at the theme of the psalm this morning, which is give thanks unto the Lord. And now in verse 2 through 4, we see who the singers of this psalm were. He says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. David calls upon others to lift up their voices in praise and join in this song of thanksgiving. And I believe it really honors the Lord when God's people assemble together to offer praise and song to the glory of the Lord. When we come together to worship and we have song incorporated in music, it ought to thrill our souls as we sing those hymns. When we sang that song today at the end of our service, praise the Lord. The power of that song lifted all of us, encouraged all of us, because we were given our praise to the Almighty. Now, in verse 2, he calls upon Israel, the chosen nation of God, to join in this psalm of praise. And all they had to do is think about all the mercies that God had poured out and showed to the nation of Israel. God had set them apart. He chose them to be his people. I remember how amazing it was the first time that I read my Bible through and I got into Exodus and I began to read how God systematically was obliterating the gods, the heathen gods of Israel. I was thrilled as I read through the book of Exodus, all the plagues that God sent upon the nation of Israel. And yet he preserved Israel. When the plague of darkness went throughout all the land, the Bible says that there was light in the Israelites' houses. That's miraculous. When God ordered the Israelites to slay a Passover lamb and to put the blood on the doorpost, and if they did that, God would pass over them, but yet every other firstborn, even among the cattle and the animals, they were smitten and killed. And God protected Israel. When Pharaoh finally said, you can go, and the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, I've always been amazed at how God miraculously, yes, I believe that it was the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea. You know, some people say, well, oh yeah, but that was a time when the Red Sea was only 6 inches deep. That's how they crossed over. Isn't that amazing? That'd be a greater miracle, somebody drowning 6 inches of water. A whole army of Egyptians. You see, it doesn't hold up. But I don't know what it would have been like to be in the midst of that, but I'm sure that they felt the ground shaking as those chariot wheels thundered, and Pharaoh and his army were approaching and threatening them, and the Red Sea was before them, and Moses took the staff and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the waters rolled back. The children of Israel, can you imagine that great company of people going over dry shod, kicking up dust as they went? Because God had dried up the floor of the Red Sea. It wasn't mucky and muddy. They got to the other side. They looked back here. Pharaoh had presumed to try to come and cross the sea, and they saw God bring all of the waters of judgment upon Pharaoh and his chariots of war, and they're still at the bottom of the Red Sea. God Almighty undertook for His chosen people. He redeemed them out of Egypt's bondage. And even when they were rebellious, and when they were unbelieving, and they were walking in the wilderness, they had their shoes. He made them their shoes good for 40 years. That's pretty good. These breeches I got on, I've been wearing them for 20 years. These brown ones. Now, I don't know what's happened there. They've shrunk a little bit through the years. But they're on their last leg. Because I noticed today, I got a couple little holes in them that nobody can see but me. But I thought, 20 years, that's pretty good, you know, by comparison. Because, I'm just a fat Baptist preacher. But he got them through 40 years. They ate manna every day. He provided for them. He protected them. And then they went into the promised land. And God enabled them to start conquering their foes. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Even though God allowed them to go in captivity and then to be dispersed, and then when they cried out when Jesus was going to be crucified, remember what they said? Let crucify Him. Let His blood be upon us and our children. You know, in spite of that, God still, He has not cast away His people, which He did foreknow. His mercy endureth forever. He promised Israel an everlasting possession. And you know what? He's preserved that for them. They're in that land that now in unbelief. But one day God's going to regenerate His elect out of Israel, and they're going to be in that land through the millennial reign, and I believe even beyond, because His mercy endureth forever to that nation that He loved and chose. Oh, how we ought to take so much courage from how God has dealt mercifully with Israel, because many of the blessings that they have, we share. We're washed in we're in covenant relationship with God. He chose us before the world began. Christ redeemed us by His blood. The Spirit regenerated us, indwells us. We are God's people, His chosen people. So we can rejoice with them. And I believe we will during the millennial reign. Now, verse 3. He says, let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. You know, the house of Aaron, they were called upon to give thanks unto God. They were the priests. They were the priestly family. They were privileged to serve God continually and to minister in the presence of the Lord. You know what? In the New Testament, do you realize that celibate Catholic men are not priests of God? They label them as such, but if you're a child of God, you're a priest of God. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Can that be said about you? Then you're a priest of God. You're a holy nation. You've been called out of the darkness of your depravity, your rebellion, your sin, into the light and the glory and the presence and the power of God Almighty. He's changed you miraculously. He says in verse 9, which in time past was not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, let the sons of Aaron give praise unto God as they serve continually before the Lord. And then he says in verse 4, he wants everybody to join in this hymn, this song of praise. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. Let those who fear, who reverence, who respect the holy name of God offer praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. And that would include all the saints of the Most High who truly understand how unworthy they are of the Lord's mercies that are new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. It includes everybody that's ever been saved. Can you imagine when we are going to gather with all the saints of all ages, singing, praising, worshiping throughout the eternal ages? All that love the Lord, all that reverence His name, are going to offer thanksgiving perpetually throughout eternity. Let us with gladsome mind praise the Lord, for He is kind. For His mercy shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Now throughout the psalm, He gives us various reasons for thanksgiving. In verse 5, He gives us, we can thank Him for deliverance in times of distress. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. How many times has this verse come true in your life? You get some unexpected news, or you have a real trial that has burdened your life. How many times have we gone to the Lord when it seemed as though our burdens were going to overwhelm us, only to see the Lord deliver and encourage us and empower us? God the Almighty hears. He answers the prayers of His people. And what a cause for thanksgiving. Amen. When He delivers us out of distresses. Think about the folks here tonight. Some of you have come real close to death. You think about it. I'm looking out. And God, in His mercy, has preserved you. Now, the way I look at it, though, if you're a child of God, you can always look forward to deliverance. You can always look forward to the fact that one way or the other, you are definitely going to be delivered. He may deliver you, heal you, raise you up, enable you to live and many, many years. Or He may deliver you by taking you right into His presence. But if you're a child of God, every distress, you can rely on the Lord. And that's a reason for thanks. He gives us confidence. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Confidence in God. Courage to face our foes. Because of the power and presence of God in our lives, we have no need to fear. What a blessing. What a thought is that? To be able to live your life with no fear. No fear of man. No fear of the future. Realizing that God does all things well, that He's never made a mistake, that He's ordered every single thing that comes into your life for His glory and for your good. And so, because of that, you can answer what Paul commands, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. every trial, every hardship, every valley, every furnace, every river that has to be crossed, God can help us. And we can have confidence in Him and rely upon Him in times of trouble. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're overcomers. Faith overcomes the world. He gives us protection. Look at this, verse 10. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. I think some of this has application to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. That almost sounds like Revelation 19. When all the armies of the earth presumed to rebel against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Word of God. And He's going to destroy him with the word of His mouth. Verse 12, they compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Oh, you know who our captain is, right? You know who the one who has brought about the victory for us through His perfect life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven, His intercession for us. He is the captain of our salvation. Because He is victorious, we will be victorious over all. And so we can give thanks. Boy, God's people, out of everybody on the field, we should never play the victim. We should never say, oh, poor pitiful me. Everybody hates me. Oh, what can I do? No. We're walking with the Lord. The Spirit of God dwells in us. We're washed in the blood. We're forgiven. We're heirs of God. And join heirs with Christ. We're not victims, we're victors. And we ought to live like it. Now in verses 8 and 9, and now I've got this written in my Bible. Alan, you research this for me. He's got apps on his phone that'll tell him everything. Yeah, everybody thinks Alan's a Bible scholar, but he's an app scholar. I'm just teasing. He actually is smart enough to know how to use the apps, okay? You know, when I think of an app, I'm thinking at Applebee's, you know, an appetizer. I'm not real good with apps, but what I want you to find out, I've got it written down. I think my pastor was the one that said this, that these are the middle verses in the Bible. But if they are, I'm so happy about this, because what better verses to give you in the very middle of Holy Scripture? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. God is a reliable refuge of trust. We can be sure that all of God's Word is reliable, trustworthy, as opposed to the words, the actions, the philosophies of men. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every word of God is true. And He's given it to us for our learning, to give us confidence in times of trouble and difficulty. We can go to the Word of God, we can glean the promises, and we can walk with the Lord through the fiercest of fires. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love what they said when the king said, you know, if you don't bow before this idol when the music starts up, you boys are being thrown in the furnace. They said, we're not careful to answer you. We're going to trust in the living God. And they threw him in the fire. The only thing that got burnt was the bands that held him, the cords that held him. Not a hair of their heads were singed. God is our protector, and we can trust in Him. Verse 14, God is our salvation and our strength. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. He's the one that is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The right hand of the Lord will do valiantly in the battles of life for us. Just ask Gideon, ask Joshua, ask the great warriors in the Bible. David, a little skinny shepherd boy who had tended his father's sheep, and yet God put it in his heart to say before all the grown men of Israel, is there not a cause? And that young shepherd boy who was just a stripling of a youth, he said, I'll go against Goliath. I'll go against that Pharisee giant that dares to blaspheme the holy name of God. And they began to make fun of David. He said, it's on. That's modern day. And sure enough, they tried to fit him with Saul's armor and his sword, and he said, I can't do that. Just give me my sling. He went and picked out 5 smooth stones. Everybody says, well, did he think he was going to miss? No, he's going to kill his brothers too. And he went out there. You talk about somebody that waxed, that the right hand of the Lord waxed valiantly for. I mean, I don't know if you've ever done a slingshot before. It's pretty hard to be real accurate with that. To hit a guy, I mean, a guy maybe 10 feet tall, there were giants in the land, he's full of armor, he's cussing, he's blaspheming. And David looked at him and said, you're going to be, you're done, man. God is going to smite you. And everybody's going to witness it. And boy, he began to rail on David. Next thing you know, he starts slinging that sling. Woo! Hit that giant right down in the middle of his head. Down goes Frazier. That wasn't his name. Down goes Goliath. Dead. That young shepherd boy ran over, picked up his sword, and cut his head off. He said, this is what the right hand of the Lord can do to his enemies. Take courage, friends. This is our God is for us. You're gonna meet with Goliaths in your life. But you've got to trust in the name of the Lord. He's our salvation. You've got to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You and I, in these times of great trouble and trial, we've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we've got to stand in the evil day. And when we're able, by His power, God gives us a song of rejoicing as we reflect upon His sovereign power and might. God, our Savior, has fought valiantly for us. Jesus has defeated everything that's against you. He fulfilled the law for you and paid its full penalty so the law can no longer condemn you. You've been justified by the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. Sin is, He satisfied and delivered you from the penalty of sin in justification. He's working in you both the will and to do of His good pleasure in sanctification, drawing you to a closer relationship and conformity to Christ And one day he's going to deliver you completely from the power, from the very presence of sin, all because of what Jesus did. Now, verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Now, I'm going to die physically. And so are you, unless the Lord comes back in the rapture. But my body may die, but I'm living on. I'm going on to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The reality of eternal life and the privilege of declaring God's glory and His gospel to others is what we live for. May God help us. We ought to thank God for His chastening hand. Verse 18. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Oh, how thankful that God has not allowed me to sin a sin unto death. That is, I'm so glad that God deals with me by chastening. It's one of the ways that I know for sure I'm saved. God grieves me over sin and whips me when I'm out of the way. And the Bible makes it clear, if ye be without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. Meaning that you're illegitimate. You're not a true child of God if you're not chastened. So thank God for His chastening hand. Thank God that He cares enough about you, not to spoil you, but to better you through His chastening hand. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them. I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Do you realize what a wonderful thing it is to be delivered from the wickedness of sin and to be changed so thoroughly that now, for the first time in your life, you want to live for God. You want to live righteously. You have a desire to bring forth fruit unto Him. How amazing is that? We now have the ability. God's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us His Word, the indwelling of His Spirit. Oh, what blessings He's loaded us with. Now, 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe it's talking about Christ and His resurrection day, and by extension, the life that we have in Him every day because we're alive in Jesus, we can say the very same words every single day. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in His eyes. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He lives forevermore, and I live in Him. So every day I can wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I can rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, don't walk around like you've been drinking dill pickle juice. Don't walk around like you're just sour all the time. If anybody ought to be rejoicing, ought to have a spring in their step, joy in their heart, a song in their mouth, it's a people that have been made alive in Jesus Christ. So much, so many reasons to be thankful just in one psalm. And the whole psalms are full of these exhortations. Our hearts should daily be filled with an abundance of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. And our thanksgiving should translate into thanks living. If we're truly thankful for God and what He's done, we ought to be living in a manner that honors Him. And we'll close with one prayer that Paul lifted up for the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, and we'll close with this. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause all we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To what end? To what purpose? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's respond to this message of thanksgiving with one of thanks living by endeavoring to walk worthy of the Lord. Hope you know Him. It's the most glorious thing in all the world to be saved by the power of God through Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.
Page number 125.